Well, now here's a few statistics for you to consider. Australia has never had a female treasurer or treasury secretary, and only two women have headed a major economic agency at the Commonwealth level. We've never had a female chief economist at one of the big four banks. At the Treasury and the Reserve Bank, women account for about 40 to 50% of their staff, but the proportion of women in the senior executive is around one third. And in terms of what's ahead, across all states, the number of students studying high school economics, male or female, has fallen over the last 5 years, but the decline among female students is even greater. So what's happening to this once glittering discipline? Well, a new network has launched this week to address the absence or backward march, we could put it like that, of women in economics. It's the Women in Economics Network, and we were hoping that its new chair, Danielle Wood, could join me, but in fact she's ill, I've just heard. But we are joined by Nikki Hutley, who is the Director and Chief Economist at the consultancy firm Urbis. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you very much.
If I asked you to describe the public face of economics in Australia, what does it look like in your view?
Oh, look, very much like middle-aged men. I mean, if you think about on the television news in particular, we see the same sorts of faces over and over again. In fact, the stats from Women in Media show that last year only 9% of economic commentary came from women.
Truly. Mm. And what's the reason why? I mean, how do you, why is this so?
Look, there are a number of reasons, and I think you've got to go way back. I mean, there are the same number of students, female and male, studying economics some time ago. Economics has become much more maths-based, and we know that more males study maths than females, or in the past they have. I think economics itself has changed over time, but to be honest, I find it puzzling. I think there's the same barriers to proceeding up through the glass ceiling in economics as there are in many other sectors, but it's a very blokey industry. Like the property sector, it's incredibly blokey. If you think about the dealing room of a traditional trading bank, you know, there aren't many women, and it's a part of the culture, and I know that's trying to change, but it's really entrenched. I think in the public sector, you'd expect to see more women working in those fields in treasury, and in consulting, there's absolutely no reason other than perhaps lack of flexibility, but I really hope that will change. So maybe it's actually about how attractive or sexy the subject of economics itself is.
Yes, I wonder whether it might be too. What about your own personal experiences? What attracted you to study economics and to become an economist?
Well, it was actually my big brother who was studying economics at high school, and he'd come home and we'd talk about, you know, what he was studying, and I found it fascinating. And I was giving away my age here, but, you know, this was at the start of Thatcher's Britain, and there was so much going on, and it was the same time that the European Union was starting to be talked about. And so this was in the headlines all the time, and I just found it fascinating. And to be honest, I can't understand why today, when there's so much is economically driven, why more kids aren't attracted to what is at the heart of economics. And maybe that's because a lot of what's taught at university is very much about the theory and its mathematics and its, you know, demand curves and supply curves, and it takes a long time to get to the real world.
Yes, there was a very good article in The Economist magazine over Christmas, which I actually read, reflecting on how economics has become much more technical, and it was looking back at people like Keynes and Hayek, who were fundamentally about bringing their conclusions to a broader, like they became, he was known as the great persuader, and it was contextual, to use that word. I wonder, well, why has this happened? Has it become more specialised?
Look, I don't think so. I think there's actually a misunderstanding about what a lot of economists do. For example, myself in a consulting field, I work a lot with government, helping to understand the economics behind policies. But that's not just about housing affordability or budgets. That's about social policies like where do we, how do we allocate new schools? How do we, which programs give us the best outcomes in terms of palliative care or cancer treatments or educational outcomes? Things, I've just finished something about kids coming out of home care have the worst outcomes in life. And if we have early intervention and put more money into programs to help these kids now, we save huge amounts of government funding down the track. So it's not just a social argument. There's a strong economic argument for intervening in the policy space. And if you can't be passionate, maybe I'm just a nerd, but, you know, it gets me very passionate.
Good, good. I love it. I love passion. Yeah. I mean, don't say what you can't, but I mean, who commissioned you to do that?
Look, a range of different people. So we work for state governments, federal governments. We work for the not-for-profit sector to help them understand what they're doing. You know, we work sometimes for the private sector as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's about just investment. When I say just investment, but it can be investment that can make the difference between, you know, life or death in a regional town, and being able to articulate why that investment should occur just beyond, you know, we need another road, but this is about opening up access for tourism and new jobs and helping regional communities to stay alive. You know, economics is just so vital to every decision we make. And I actually think it should be compulsory at schools for a short period of time. You think about when you go to the polls at an election time, so much of what we're voting on is economics, and people don't understand, particularly with the budget. I get so frustrated. It's like, we can't have less tax and lots more spending. We either need to raise taxes or reduce the spending. You can't have it all. And when we understand, we can make the right decisions.
The Canberra branch of your network was launched by the Assistant Governor of the Reserve Bank of Australia, Lucy Ellis. Here she is launching it, reflecting on why economics in Australia started to be less attractive to both male and female school students in the 1990s.
From what we understand, when business studies subjects were introduced, they expanded at the expense of economics. Now, most of that shift happened in the 1990s. I can't help wondering if the experience of the early 90s recession or the popular discussion at the time about economic rationalism made economics somehow uncool. Or maybe business studies was seen as easier for students or for teachers. Or maybe general subjects are seen as better for employability. We just don't know. At least we can say that it seems that the global financial crisis, which is considered in some quarters to represent a failure of economics as a discipline, did not have the same effect.
Yeah, she went on to say, Nikki Hutley, that actually there is some tick-up that has occurred. That's the latest work statistics since the GFC. So I just wonder how much you agree that that whole notion of business studies and commerce, gosh, the numbers of people doing commerce stun me, whether that has taken away from economics.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there is something about it's being seen as being the easier option. When you go to do an economics degree even, a lot of people will opt for those business studies subjects because they see they're easier, maybe they are more employable. And I think the economics profession has to get out there that, you know, economics has got a whole range of options well beyond just academic and that very narrow type of field. There's a very practical aspect to economics. You know, some thinking and slow in the policy, the fast-paced life of working in the banking sector, policy in the government sector. You know, there's lots of applications here. And it's amazing the number of people I bump into who are doing something totally different, like one of your producers here who just said to me, I did an economics degree. Yes. There are lots of people who study economics but then don't go on to pursue a career in it. And so I think I'm really glad to be part of the Women in Economics Network in New South Wales to actually help promote the subject as something really interesting and to really open up people's ideas about
maybe
it.
Maybe it might be more useful than the law, which is everywhere, where people, of course, a lot of people apply for journalism who've done law and they don't want to stay in law.
Well, there's too many people doing law degrees, well, so let's shift a few of them across.
We've just now welcomed the next mailbag of listeners. Look, what are some of the, ideas that have been put into place that you know of at, say, banks or public institutions or even schools that are showing signs of attracting women into economics?
Look, to be honest, I think there's very little at the moment, and this is something that Women in Economics is working on, and that's part of our mandate, is to actually have more of a face at schools. So when they have careers night, they actually don't forget to include us in the mix and along with the lawyers and the doctors. So I think that's really healthy. I think it's, you know, raising the profile of you know, the oldies like myself who are out there and who've had wonderful careers to say, this is what you too can do. And so it's we're at the start of this journey, I think. Good. Rather than, you know.
Well, we put it out there now. We want listeners to let us know. I think it's a fabulous venture. I really do. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Geraldine.
And to Danielle, who's not well, Nikki Hutley, the Director and Chief Economist at the consultancy firm Urbis. Head to Saturday Extra for a link to the network, Saturday Extra website. They're very open to practicing economists and students, and they want to talk to you more.
That feeling you get when you realize the moon used to be so much closer that it lit up the night sky as bright as an office?
When you realize that there's an object out there that wouldn't just rip you apart, it would erase your very existence?
When you realize there could be alien life swimming in the oceans on a nearby moon?
That feeling you get when you realize that the sun is only 20 galactic years old and will be dead by the time it's 40?
That's what we call cosmic vertigo. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.